Are frontline companies doing enough to help their employees grow and develop? And is everyone getting the same opportunities? How can frontline organizations make their learning and development strategies more equitable? My name is Skadi L, and I'm one of the co-founders here at Gusto. And today we're joined by Heather Gilmartin. She's a senior analyst over at Red Thread Research. Heather, would you like to do a little intro?
Yeah. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. As you said, I'm a senior analyst at Red Thread Research. We're a research membership community. We write about things like learning, skills, career, employee experience, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and the tech that supports all of those things. I've been at Red Thread almost 4 years now. And before that, I worked for a couple of consultancies that focus on organizational culture, leadership, mindset change, that kind of thing. And before that, I had a first career in the U.S. government.
Awesome. Well, I'm super pumped to talk to you about kind of today's topic. You put out a report there on LinkedIn all about kind of the frontline workforce. So today, digging in a little bit on kind of learning equity for frontline workers, I'd love to start with a personal question. Like, have you ever been in a situation in your career where you felt that you haven't had kind of like the same opportunities to grow and develop as others?
When I saw that question, I thought, oh, actually, I've been far more aware of my privilege than any opportunities that I haven't had. Maybe I just haven't noticed. But honestly, I really feel like I've had more opportunities than others, the people around me. But as you said, as we dug into the research on frontline workers and on learning equity, it was incredible. I heard some stories about how certain groups of people just don't get some of the opportunities that others do, and some of the more systemic reasons for that. It was really fascinating and disheartening on one hand, but then also sort of really cool to see some of the things that organizations were doing to counter those systems, or I would say redesign their systems to be more equitable.
Do you have like a story or an example you could share?
Yeah, so one of the ones that comes to mind is a learning leader that I talked to, who he was running like a high potential program, a leadership development program that was nomination based. And one year when he got the nomination list, he looked at it and he noticed that only 9% of the women, of the people on the list, were women. And he sort of compared that to the demographics of the organization and that particular target group, that the leaders at that level, there were 37, I think almost 40% were women. And so he told me he remembers walking into his boss's office and saying, "We have a problem." And so they started over, they rewrote the nomination criteria. They did a whole publicity campaign to the managers who were doing the nominations, saying, this is what we're looking for. These are the skills we're looking for, not in terms of demographics, not in terms of personality. They really focused on, what are the skills we're looking for? What are the skills we're hoping to build through this as a way of being more equitable? And then when they got the nomination lists back, it was much closer to, comparable with the organization demographics.
Yeah. So kind of being really clear with the criteria kind of helped to get them to a better, kind of more equitable outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, in the research that we did, we found that that was one of the most effective approaches for making your systems of employee development more equitable was simply being transparent and consistent in the criteria that you use for making decisions about who gets access to what.
Yeah, I have to imagine the same would apply to kind of like career progression too, and kind of promotional opportunities and salary reviews and whatnot.
Want to build a better culture for your employees? In Culture is the Ultimate Advantage, we detail our methodology for building a culture that employees love and that drives results. Go to get.gusto.com/culture to get your copy.
Before we kind of jump into some of the questions, specifically on the frontline, like how do you define frontline workers? What does that mean to you?
So we kept it really broad in the research that we did. It was basically anyone who needs to be physically present for their work, who is not at a desk, does not have access to a computer regularly.
Okay. So like, would somebody at like a call center who is at a desk,
Yes, actually, that's a great, yes, yes, well, they still count as frontline too.
Okay, okay, so it's not necessarily kind of like deskless worker, but
right,
but they need to kind of like physically be there to kind of carry out the job.
Exactly.
How would you kind of, you know, having done the research, like how would you characterize kind of the current state of learning and development in frontline organizations?
Yeah, so historically, it's been mostly focused on performance. Like, how can we get this person to do this particular job more efficiently, more effectively? What training do they need? What certifications do they need? That's been the, you know, that's been the primary focus. What's been interesting, though, has been to see that maybe that's shifting a little bit. In that research that we did last year, we saw that a lot of L&D functions were focusing not just on how can we support this frontline worker in doing this job better, but how can we help people think about how a career at this organization, how can we help people, particularly frontline workers, see what all the options are? Because one of the big barriers to frontline career mobility often is simply not being able to see what other people do in the organization, right? You know, if you think about your team in a retail store or in one particular shift in a manufacturing line, like you have pretty limited visibility into what might be going on in headquarters or in even other lines, other shifts, right? So you see what your manager does, you see maybe what your manager's manager does, but that's a very limited view into what's possible. And so a lot of the L&D leaders that we were talking to were trying to show all of the different potential paths, lateral and vertical, to frontline workers. And that was really kind of an exciting thing.
And is that kind of world-class in your mind? Would that not be kind of like overwhelming trying to show them everything? Is there some strategy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so two thoughts on that. One is an example of what someone did. This was a plant L&D leader at a like a printing company. So they had all these printing plants everywhere, and he noticed that there was a blank wall in one of their factories that was like 200 feet long. And so he crafted literally like a construction paper and string diagram of different potential career paths that people in that plant could take, you know, and it didn't cover everything, but it at least gave the, you know, emphasized the point that, look, there are all these options that you can explore. So that's one is just as a practical matter, you're not going to show everyone everything. You're going to tailor maybe to this location or whatever. The other thing, the other sort of exciting element of this is what's going on in skills and skills-based career pathing, where, you know, there are technologies that can say, okay, given your current skills and, you know, the skills of people that, you know, people that have your skills tend to take these career paths, here's how you could explore, you know, which skills you might need in the future if you want to go on this path versus this path. And it's sort of a personalized, tailored way of figuring out what career paths might be appropriate to you as an individual. So that's a tech thing that's happening that's quite exciting also.
You know what I love about your first example there, Heather, you know, kind of our experience working with organizations that have kind of large cohorts of frontline workers is that, you know, they're busy doing their jobs, right? They're not sitting in front of computers or checking their emails kind of like, you know, some of us might be kind of in on more of kind of like the knowledge worker side. And so what I love about that first example is actually just using the space and like communicating with frontline workers in a way that's like very easy for them to just like see, right? Rather than saying, oh, here's another piece of technology that, you know, is that can be used, you know, on top of us trying to get you all of the information about your benefits and your kind of clocking in and clocking out. And, you know, here at Gusto, we do kind of recognition and rewards and try to, at least with frontline workers, offer kind of like offline solutions for that as well. So, I really like the idea of kind of just getting ideas and communicating to those frontline workers in ways that, might not be through technology.
Yeah, I love that, actually, that you picked up on that. One of the, when we had the round table to talk to a bunch of different leaders, there was a 5-minute conversation about don't discount the value of the break room, or the like a poster in a break room, or a piece of paper, or that really is, it's still an effective way to communicate with lots of frontline workers in particular. I think we'll get to this, but in the research that we did on learning equity, it's not just access to opportunity, it's finding out what those opportunities are is a huge barrier to a lot of people. And so making those opportunities visible, if it is a poster in a break room, if that's the most effective way to do it, or putting, you know, the other cool idea that I've heard is just putting an HR person in the cafeteria so that people who might have language or literacy concerns can just go talk to somebody. You know, these were ways that HR and L&D folks were really trying to address some of the very concrete challenges on the front line.
Would you see any companies having success kind of like sharing case studies? Like, I know on kind of like the business side, one of the best way to kind of like communicate with potential customers is sharing those kind of client success stories. And here's what this client did, and here's how they kind of rolled things out. And so wondering kind of like whether on the front line, if you have people kind of moving throughout the organization, you know, kind of really shining a light on those stories so that, you know, people can kind of see their colleagues. Like, did a lot of companies do that really well?
Yeah, actually, a number of them had things they would bring in. They did like a town hall, or sometimes it was a call, and sometimes it was a physical, like they'd bring somebody into the cafeteria, bring somebody into a town hall.
Yeah.
And usually it was they would bring people in who were maybe 2 or 3 steps removed from the front line. So not very senior workers, not senior leaders, not executives, but people who had frontline experience, and people on the front line could see like, this could be me in 3 years, or this could be me in however long, and would talk about their experiences and how they got from where they were to where they are, and highlight some of the stories of their colleagues, right? So yes, that was absolutely something that we saw lots of people do, just literally trying to give concrete stories and examples to frontline workers of what the possibilities might look like.
Cool. Yeah. And so why, just kind of backing up here, but like, why should the company or organization care about kind of investing in L&D for their frontline workers? Like what's the research saying on kind of like the benefit side?
Yeah. I would say there are 2 big ones. The first one is employee development helps people do their jobs better, right? So and it's not just how can I do this job better now, but I mean, frontline jobs are changing, right? There's digitization, there's automation, there's, you know, all of the AI in the workplace. Is the conversation has been a lot more around how it's affecting desk workers right now, but AI is changing frontline jobs as well. And so helping, you know, investing in helping frontline workers keep up their skills is the first big benefit, you know, making sure that they have not just the skills to do the job today, but that you have a workforce that is prepared to do the jobs of tomorrow, right? Like that's one big thing. The other big thing is, right, there's tons of research linking employee development to things like retention and satisfaction. And, you know, if people feel they have opportunities to grow in an organization, they're more likely to stay. Retention is a much bigger issue, continues to be a much bigger issue in many frontline industries than it is in desk industries. And so, you know, investing in employee development as a benefit for retention and engagement and that kind of thing is the other big benefit for organizations.
And what about like on the innovation side? Like, I have to imagine the more that organizations are kind of investing in developing their people, like they're going to spur new ideas, right? It's the frontline folks that are kind of, you know, closest to building the product or talking to customers. And so the skill development and allowing them to kind of like do their job better, like going a step further, like I have to imagine like there's going to be some research suggesting like those organizations are going to innovate at a higher level.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
And where do you think kind of we're at in terms of kind of like equity or kind of, similar opportunities for those on the front line as those kind of workers kind of at head office? And like, what can frontline companies realistically do to make it more equitable at their organizations?
Yeah. So this was the really surprising thing when we looked at the data for the frontline equity. So the learning equity study that we did early last year, we looked at questions like, my organization supports my continual learning and growth, and I'm satisfied with my opportunities for employee development. I feel engaged in my work. Individual performance is satisfactory, those kinds of questions. And there was not a statistically significant difference on those questions between frontline and not frontline workers. And we were like, what? This makes no sense. Why is there not a difference? Like, because the whole conversation, especially at the time, this was early 2023. So we were just coming out of the great resignation, like frontline worker. There was all this conversation about frontline workers are not being served by organizations the way that desk workers were. And so we were so surprised that there was not this clear gap between, you know, its satisfaction in development opportunities. But then we dug into it more and we realized that we weren't giving enough credit to the things that were going well on the front line and the things that were actually sometimes being done better for frontline workers than for head office workers. So, for example, some of the things that are often done better are hands-on learning, like opportunities to practice, to really practice skills and get your hands dirty doing that practice. Like that happens better often on the front line than in desk roles. Things like having clear, tangible goals for this is what I'm expected to do. This is what it means for me to do well. This is what I need to do to get to do better in my job. Those types of having clear performance expectations is often, and I'm talking in generalizations, right? Like I'm sure that there are absolutely exceptions to what I'm saying here, but in general, a lot of frontline work is more tangible, and therefore can be described in a way that leads itself to clearer, more tangible goals, which then leads to clearer development opportunities, which leads to clearer, you know, which can lead to more engagement and satisfaction, that kind of thing. And then, as you mentioned, actually, direct feedback from customers, right? So frontline workers get more direct feedback from customers, so they can learn. That is a learning cycle, a feedback cycle that happens often better for frontline workers than for desk workers. So those kinds of things, those methods of learning are happening on the front line. And the interesting thing was that those stories were often not filtering up to head office, to the core, like the central L&D folks. So we talked to one head of learning, so a chief learning officer at a mining organization. We did a site visit with her to a mine, and she found out that there was all this hands-on learning that was going on in the mining site. She said, I didn't know this was happening. And so the challenge really for head office folks, for central HR or learning folks, is to know that those things are happening and to set in place systems to spread them throughout your organization, to find the pockets where the good stuff is happening and to make sure it doesn't stay in the pocket.
Cool. What a great, interesting insight. I had no idea. Knowing though that it's still like retention is still a big challenge for frontline, not even just retention, but like attracting talent, getting people like to take a lot of these roles is challenging. If L&D is level, if not potentially even better than kind of role in the head office, did the research suggest any sort of gaps on kind of?
Yeah. So I got excited about what was going well. There is an obviously a another side to that story, which is that there is a lot that is not done well for frontline workers. One of the biggest ones is just prioritizing development, feeling like people have the time and space and resources to engage in development opportunities, right? Like, there was just so much talk about I don't have time. But the I don't have time thing, there's a lot that goes into that, right? It's I don't feel supported by my manager in taking the time. I don't feel like the organization gives me time, or I don't feel like, you know, or maybe the L&D organization is asking people to step off the line more than they really should, right? Like, maybe the opportunities themselves need to be worked into the job more, right? Maybe there needs to be more coaching and more mentoring and more hands-on work and more, you know, stretch assignments, whatever that looks like, so that people can learn and grow and develop without feeling like they have to spend a lot of time outside of the job, right? So that was one of the biggest challenges. And it's a challenge for all workers, but it was a huge challenge for frontline workers because frontline work is often so rigidly scheduled, right? And so that's where you see a lot of potential, you know, micro learning, you know, 3 to 5 minute bite-sized chunks of content is very popular for frontline workers because the idea is that, well, you know, I can take three to five minutes before I start my shift to do something. The challenge there is that only works for certain types of content, certain types of learning. It does, you know, if I want to go and do something completely different, or I want to get let's say I want to get a college degree or the equivalent of a college degree, and I want to use that to be a manager, or I want to shift into the head office, right? That micro learning doesn't work for that. So what organizations are doing there is often providing learning stipends so that people can spend time outside of work doing, you know, courses. They're also doing, like, you know, lots of sort of rotational apprenticeships. Delta Airlines has a bunch of information about some data analytics programs that they specifically designed for people on the tarmac. So they found, you know, people who literally, these are people working on the tarmac, and they found people who were interested in having, you know, better paying, steadier, higher level work. They put them into these data boot camps. And then they got jobs in the head office in Delta. So those types of things are ways that organizations are addressing some of the very real challenges that frontline workers have for development.
And does kind of like recognition or even kind of like incentivizing participation in these programs kind of play a role at all? Kind of getting people obviously to kind of see where their path could go, but like really encouraging them and kind of recognizing them for kind of taking those steps.
I think, yes, the being really clear about the what's in it for me, like what is the benefit of having these better paying jobs, articulating that is really important. And then also, you know, so, yes, things like certifications or being able to say like, hey, I did this great thing. Like, look at all this work that I did and I got, you know, I achieved this thing. Recognizing people for that is, yeah, definitely a part of it.
Heather, this has been an awesome conversation. I loved your insight around kind of all of the things that really go well in terms of L&D on the front line and got me really thinking about, okay, well, how do we take some of those and actually apply them in the office setting? Because
yes,
there's a ton of opportunity there. And I wasn't, you know, expecting the conversation to go that way at all. But really, really appreciate you kind of coming on and sharing, you know, all of your kind of research and insights with our audience. If people want to learn more, Heather, how and where can they get a hold of you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Heather Gilbarton Adams. And check out Red Thread too, redthreadresearch.com. We've got a ton of information on the website. But thank you. This has been such a pleasure, a really fun conversation. I appreciate you having me.
Well, it's been all our pleasure, and we'll look forward to kind of follow you on LinkedIn. Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you got some value from this podcast and want to help other companies improve their culture, be sure to follow us and leave a rating and a review. Better yet, help us get the word out and share this show with your colleagues and peers. Mucho gusto.